Chapter 10. The next day, after breakfast, I made an excuse about getting some work done in my shop in the backyard and snuck away to make some phone calls. Then I used a Cash App to send Enid some money for the baby shower stuff she wanted to get. When I told Jay's girlfriend that money was no object, the personal trainer had taken me at my word. But it was well worth it when I thought about the look on my first wife's face when she saw her surprise. While I was in Dave's old shop, I took a moment to put the doll the little elven girl had given me on one of the built-in shelves. It was the first thing of mine I'd put in there, and somehow it made the place feel like my own. Then I went out into the yard and found Amrila and Nylamaze they trained with their wooden swords in the backyard. "Hey!" I walked up to the women as I glanced at the house to make sure Ebsith wasn't about to come out. "I need your help." Both the women were in workout clothes and covered in a light sheen of sweat, and I was distracted for a moment as I looked at my sexy warrior wives.
"Of course, Eddie."
Nylamaze smiled as she rested the point of her large mock sword on the ground.
"Anything for you?"
"Within reason,"
Amrila teased with a wicked little grin as she caught her breath. "I'm planning a surprise for Ebsith," I said. "I want to throw her a baby shower."
"You can't throw a pregnant woman,"
the horned woman interjected with a shocked look.
"Especially not in the shower. The surfaces are all hard. What kind of a human tradition is that?"
"No," I snorted. "That's not... It's a party to celebrate the new baby."
"Oh."
Amrila giggled.
"That makes more sense. What do you need us to do?"
"It's going to be tomorrow," I explained. "I have Jay's girlfriend helping me with a lot of it, but I need to go out and get some gifts. I want you two to go around to the Tynors and Mrs. McMillan and invite them to come. Maybe Mrs. Whitmire, too, since we're getting along with her now. I'll call Dave and see if he and Jesse can come. But then tomorrow, I need you, Amrila, to get Ebsith out of the house for a while so we can set everything up."
"That would mean I have to be in a car with Ebsith,"
the red-skinned woman said in a flat tone. "She's gotten better at driving," I replied as I tried to keep a straight face. "And it won't be a surprise if we set it all up in front of her."
"You're lucky I love both you and Ebsith."
Amrila rolled her black eyes. "Great," I grinned at my wives. "Try to get Bulra in on it too, so she can help keep Ebsith busy. I'll be back in a bit." I gave them both a kiss and headed into the house. Ebsith was in the living room with Bulra, and the curvy elf had the vacuum cleaner out.
"It sucks up all the dirt without the need for brooms or dirty rags,"
Ebsith said before she stepped on the pedal that brought the machine to life. The orc shaman jumped at the noise the vacuum made and squealed, and then Ebsith turned it off with a giggle.
"You get used to the noise,"
Ebsith snorted. "Hey, ladies," I chuckled as I stepped into the room. "I'm going to step out for a minute and look at the workbenches at the hardware store."
"Okay, my king,"
Ebsith smiled at me.
"Will you bring home some of those lovely teas with the little gel orbs in them? I've been thinking about them all morning."
"Sure, baby," I grinned. Then I headed out the door and got into the Rubicon. As I drove to Illyria, I thought again about a cul-de-sac filled with the sound of little half-elf and Zinkari kids playing. In my vision of that future, I owned all the houses, and my wives lived in each one. Maybe I could find a few more garms in the twilight and start breeding them. I took some time to wander around the store and think about what I wanted to get Ebsith. I thought she should get a present just for her. Everyone always got things for the baby, but the mom deserved to get something nice too, since she was the one who did all the work. I looked at foot baths and got some Epsom salts too. Pregnant women's feet always hurt, right? As I worked my way through the store, I tried to think if there was anyone I'd forgotten to invite. I would have loved to have Scourge and Bakoth's family there too, but I knew it wasn't possible just yet. Still, the image of the hawk-faced general in a polo shirt and a pair of khakis and Sperry's as he managed a grill made me laugh. But soon, Ursinger would be gone, and I'd be able to take Ebsith safely back into the gloom to meet my friends. My kids and Bakoth's could grow up together, and he'd be like an uncle we would visit from time to time. I got back in the Jeep, texted Dave Miller to invite him and his family over the next day, and then drove back home. I wasn't sure how I would get the gifts into the trailer or my workshop and make sure Ebsith didn't see them. My first wife was the only one so far who'd become proficient in reading English, and she had the only cell phone. But then I had an idea. When I was a block away, I stopped the Rubicon and texted the white-haired woman. "Hey, baby, can you check the dogs' food and water? I think I might have forgotten to feed them this morning." Since the Garms spent most of their time in the backyard behind the trailer, we kept their food in the shed back there. If I knew my first wife, even if the bowls weren't empty, she'd top them off, so I'd have a few minutes while she fussed over Growler and Dread to carry all the bags back into my workshop.
"Oh, the poor babies. I'll go check.
Ibsith texted back. I smiled at her misspelling of babies. Ibsith had come a long way with reading and spelling, but she still had a little ways to go. Then she sent a couple of heart emojis and a kiss. That part of modern culture she'd taken to right away. I figured by the time I pulled up to the houses, Ibsith should already be in the backyard of the trailer, because she wouldn't put off the garms if she thought they might be hungry. If I hurried and took everything in one trip, I should be able to pull it off. I pulled into the driveway of the new house, quickly gathered up all the bags, four to an arm, and hustled into the backyard through the side door. I dropped all of the bags in the workshop before I went into the kitchen through the back door and grabbed a pop out of the fridge. Then I sat on the couch and did my best to look casual, like I hadn't just stuffed my shop full of surprise gifts.
You're home, my king!
Ibsith said in a cheery voice when she came in.
I thought you would be a while yet. Did you find what you wanted?
Nah. I shook my head and tried to keep my face neutral. I think I'll either have to build one or order it online. Ibsith stopped and put her hands on her round hips as she looked at me for a moment, and I worried that my expression had been guilty after all. Had she guessed something was up?
The dog's water and food were mostly full,
the violet-eyed woman said.
But I filled them up anyway. Is everything all right?
Everything's perfect. I grinned. There's a beautiful, kind, absolutely perfect woman carrying my first child and standing right in front of me. What more could a man ask for?
You could tell me what you want for dinner.
Ibsith giggled as the mild suspicion melted from her face. We stayed in again that night, and Ibsith made an amazing meatloaf, creamy mashed potatoes with homemade gravy, and corn on the cob. Then we settled in to watch the ladies' favorite show. Nyla May had gotten into the epic fantasy tale, too, and we'd pause every now and then so Ibsith and Amrila could catch Bora up on the story.
They never have plays in Torsbane,
the shaman commented as a sword fight broke out on screen.
We'd get a traveling juggler or a storyteller from time to time, but I would only get to see real actors if we happened to be in the capital. It's so lovely that you can see one any time you want.
What'd you do for entertainment? I asked.
Sit in a circle and sew.
Bora rolled her eyes.
One of the other ladies would tell a story or read from a manuscript, but mostly they would gossip. Torsbane is a small community, and there were no secrets there. I always enjoyed needlepoint,
Ibsith replied as she cuddled next to me.
My handmaidens and I would make up stories to tell each other. They were terribly boring, but they passed the time. That all sounds dreadfully boring.
Amrila groaned as she scratched Growler's head.
I used to hunt for entertainment or sneak into taverns to hear a bard sing.
I would sit and listen to the stories of the older soldiers.
Nyla May smiled as she watched the fight scene on the TV.
Hear where they'd gotten their scars or about their journeys into the twilight. Now, I have stories of my own.
The Dolrath woman shot me a look from the other side of the couch and winked, and I winked back at Nyla May as I thought about all the adventures we'd shared together. I spent the night making love to Amrila in the trailer. The horned woman still kept her old bedroom because she said her first room to herself had a special significance to her, so we tried not to be too loud when we had our mini climaxes. Nyla May had taken over the master bedroom in the trailer and let Bulra sleep in her room for now. We would close on Mrs. Whitmire's house next door in a few weeks, and then the Dolrath princess would take over that house. As I laid next to my Zenkari wife and saw the sunrise through the window, I thought about which house I might be able to buy next for her. Brock's place would be ideal, so that all my properties would be next to one another, but there was no way the bull-necked man would sell to me anytime soon. But Jack Tynor had once joked about moving to Arizona, so he and Eartha could enjoy their retirement with friends down there. Maybe there was something there. As I gently got out of bed, careful not to wake my fiery wife, who was not a morning person, I thought about how Jack and Eartha would be at the party. Maybe I could find a way to test the waters and see if they were serious. The house was across the cul-de-sac from us, but Amrila didn't mind being a little solitary.
Is it morning already?
The Zenkari woman mumbled as she pushed her tousled hair out of her face.
Curse that sun.
I know. I chuckled. But I'm sure Ibsith already has coffee made. How do you plan on getting her out of the house today?
Throw her over my shoulder and tell her there's a sale for mistreated plants.
The red-skinned woman replied in a groggy voice.
She'll feel the strong desire to rescue all of them and get a bargain doing so.
That would do it, I snorted. Come on, Enid said she wanted to be here early to get the house set up. I think she hired a caterer and everything.
What in the five hells is a caterer?
Amrila asked as she sat up, and the blankets fell from her naked form. They bring food and cook it for you, I replied, as I enjoyed the view of the horned woman's bare breasts and tawny nipples that stood erect in the cool morning air.
Delightful,
Amrila yawned. The Zinkari woman and I dressed, and Amrila put on a distressed black sweater that had holes artfully torn in attractive places, and gray jeans with fringed tears that went up the legs in the front. Then the two of us headed over to the new house. Ibsith, Nilame, and Bulra were in the kitchen, as they chatted over coffee about what happened in the show the previous night. Ibsith looked cozy and warm in one of her favorite sweaters that showed off her beautiful shoulders and floral yoga pants that formed around the curves of her supple ass. Nilame wore one of my old flannel shirts tied at her waist, just above her belly button, and high-waisted leggings, and Bulra wore one of Ibsith's little tank tops with a flannel shirt over it and a pair of Nilame's tight bootcut jeans.
I don't think she'll marry the Count,
Nilame said as she shook her head.
She doesn't love him, and he lost the duel. Why would she?
Duty,
Bulra sighed.
She's a good daughter, and her father will never approve of Simon. I think she will marry Simon in the end,
Ibsith said with a little smile as she added sugar to her mug.
Love always wins in the end.
I sure hope she marries Simon, I said, and I was surprised I even had an opinion about a show I wasn't invested in. The duel was for her honor, after all, and it was the Count who questioned her virtue in the first place. He's an asshole.
Oh, good morning, beloved.
Ibsith grinned as she came over for a kiss.
I made muffins, fried ham, and eggs.
We all sat down to eat, and I shot a look at Amrila from across the table. The horned woman had a forkful of eggs halfway to her mouth when she saw me, wrinkled her nose, and then set her fork down.
Ibsith,
Amrila said as she turned to the curvy elf.
I've been thinking about getting a few plants for the trailer to freshen the air. Nothing girly with flowers, though. Would you give me a ride to the store? Oh!
The white-haired woman squealed.
Yes, please! What a lovely time! Eartha just told me about a big store that sells nothing but houseplants. Does anyone else want to come?
There was an awkward pause, and I worried that Ibsith would start to suspect something again. I think I'm going to do some work around the house. I smoothly lied. Maybe work with Growler and Dread a little. They've gotten a bad habit of getting on the furniture. It's cute now, but when they're bigger, it's going to be a problem.
Oh, but they love to cuddle.
Ibsith pouted a little.
You know best, though, beloved. What about you two?
I think I'd like to train with my greatsword this morning.
Nilame shrugged, but wasn't a great liar.
I'm getting rusty.
I think I'll stay here.
Bulra smiled and sounded more believable.
I'm still not used to the surface world. Then it will be a day just for us, sister.
Ibsith smiled at the horned woman.
The store is in Illyria, so we can get some of that wonderful booby tea.
Boba, I snorted.
Yes.
The violet-eyed woman giggled.
We can get boba tea.
Ibsith and Amrila left for their shopping trip, and I checked the time. It was only 8 a.m, so we'd have a little time before Jay and Enid showed up. I went ahead and cleared away the breakfast dishes, while Nilame and Bulra went around the house to look for anything out of place. But Ibsith was the world's best homemaker, so there wasn't a lot to do.
Is she out of the house? We're almost there!
Enid texted me. Yep, I typed back. We're all good. When the two of them showed up, Enid came in like a hurricane.
You guys can start with streamers in the living room since you're the tallest.
The spunky, athletic little woman said almost as soon as she was in the door.
I just heard from the caterer, and they'll be here in about an hour. Where do you want to put the gift table?
I showed the two of them around real quick so Enid could get the lay of the land. And then Jay and I started to hang the streamers, and a sparkly sign that read, Congratulations. You weren't kidding. I chuckled as I twisted up some crepe paper streamers, and Jay waited with a big roll of scotch tape. Enid has got this all down to a science.
She's had a lot of practice, Jay laughed. Her mom's really into organizing fundraisers, and she's a sorority girl. The last year has been a different party, dinner, or shower almost every weekend.
That sounds like a lot. I commented with a glance over at Jay as he handed me a piece of tape.
It's exhausting, the slim man agreed. But Enid is worth it. She's great. Ambitious, motivated, a minx in the sack. We compliment each other.
That's good. I nodded as I placed the ends of the streamers as close to the ceiling as they would go. You gonna marry her?
I already have the ring, Jay admitted as his face flushed a little. Just waiting for the right time. How'd you propose?
Which time? I laughed. With Ibsith and Amrila, it just kind of happened and felt right. I asked Nilame when we were on our way back from a trip that turned out well.
What about the new girl?
Jay asked with a sly smile.
The hippie girl with the...
The dark-haired man gestured at his mouth to refer to the orcish woman's little tusks.
Bora?
I replied. She's just a friend that's staying for a while.
A smoking hot friend,
my best friend commented.
There's just something about these bohemian girls.
That there is, I snorted. I think you should just do it. I know with a girl like Enid, you probably feel the pressure to do something crazy and pull out all the stops and do that if you want to, but she'll smell it a mile off if you plan an elaborate date or a trip to Paris. Surprise her. Maybe in a beautiful location, but keep it low-key. It's the surprise that matters.
You think?
Jay sounded skeptical. Fuck yeah. I nodded as I stopped to look my best friend in the eyes. Her friends all have the same dumb story about going out to some 4-star restaurant that's impossible to get into or some shit. Take her out to a cabin in Hocking Hills on one of the last warm weekends and do it in front of those waterfalls. Then just get down on one knee out of nowhere. She'll be genuinely surprised, and you can take some selfies in one of the most beautiful natural places in the world that she can show off to her sorority friends.
That's actually a really good idea, Jay said in an odd tone. You're really good at this.
I've had a little practice, I chuckled. Not long after, the caterers showed up and set up in the kitchen, and Enid came in to inspect our work.
Oh!
The posh woman sighed when she walked into the living room.
It looks perfect. Us girls have the lanterns all hung in the backyard, and the caterers are setting up chairs and tables out there. You should set the gifts you got already on the kitchen table so the guests will know where to put theirs. Where are they?
In my workshop, I replied, but I haven't wrapped them yet.
No problem.
Enid waved her well-manicured hand.
I brought some extra gift wrap and bags, just in case. Jay and I will take care of it. Can you help Bora and Nilame finish up in the back?
We all went into the backyard where Nilame and Bora were, and I showed Enid the shop.
Wow!
The sorority girl said in an impressed tone when she saw all the bags.
You went all out.
Maybe, I replied as I rubbed the back of my neck. I'm really excited to be a dad.
Aww.
Enid cooed as she looked at me.
Your wives are really lucky.
It doesn't bother you, does it? I asked, more as a statement than a question. That I have more than one wife?
Why the fuck should it?
Enid giggled.
It's not for me, but they're all so happy. If you all are in love, then it's your business and no one else's.
Jay's a lucky man to have such a cool girlfriend. I smiled at the athletic woman.
Oh, you bet your ass he is.
Enid replied in a saucy voice. But I could tell she was in love with my childhood friend, too. I was happy for them both. Then the guests started to arrive, and I knew Amrila would have made an excuse for her and Ibsith to be back soon. Dave and Jesse brought the kids, and the younger two played in the yard with Growler and Dread, while their older son sat at one of the tables out back and sullenly played on his game console. The Tynors came over next and put a large gift on the kitchen table. Jack was in a polo and some khakis, and I had to keep a straight face because it was almost the same outfit I'd imagined Bakoth in earlier. Eartha had on a flowy, loose-fitted dress, and her tightly curled hair was pulled back in a silk headband. Mrs. Whitmire showed up with her white hair dyed a little pink and dressed in white trousers and a satin shirt with a very loud flower print. It was quite a change from her usual frumpy house dress. Look at you, I commented as the old woman hugged me hello. You look like a new woman.
I used some of my savings as a down payment on a condo in Florida,
the formerly bitter old woman told me with a huge smile.
It's right next to my friend Millie, so I thought I'd change my look to get ready. Do you like it?
I really do, I assured Whitmire. I think it suits you. Mrs. McMillan arrived soon after, and we all gathered in the living room with the lights off to wait for our guest of honor. A few minutes later, I heard the Rubicon pull up, and the tires briefly squealed as Ibsith parked. My first wife was still a little shaky in the driving department. Then Ibsith and Amrila stepped into the darkened living room, and Enid switched on the lights.
Surprise!
We all shouted at once.
Ah!
Ibsith screamed and looked terrified for a moment, but then she saw that all her friends were there with smiles on their faces. My first wife gaped at the small crowd until Amrila nudged her with an elbow.
What's this?
The petite woman asked in a meek voice as she caught her breath. It's a party, I said as I went up to hug the blue-skinned woman. It's for you and the baby.
Oh, Eddie!
Ibsith threw her arms around me and tears sparkled in her purple eyes as she peppered my face with kisses.
Thank you. No one has ever thrown a party for me before.
The rest of the night went by perfectly, The caterers brought up platter after platter of incredibly delicious finger food, and there was beer and wine for the guests. Then Enid led several party games with baby themes, but thankfully she skipped the one with melted candy bars and diapers. Ibsith glowed the whole night, and shyly accepted congratulations and discussed baby names. Eventually, I found myself near the keg with Jack Tynor as we refilled our cups.
"Hell of a party, Hill,"
the retired policeman complimented me.
"I don't remember the last time the neighbors all got together like this. Maybe the 80s.
"You've been here a while," I said, as I thought about how I wouldn't have even been alive back then.
"Yep,"
Jack nodded as he sipped his beer.
"None of the old crowd left anymore, really."
"That's gotta be rough," I commented, "having your friends all move away like that."
"It happens."
Jack shrugged as he looked over to where his hippie wife chatted with Jesse and Bora.
"Been thinking about taking Eartha somewhere warmer myself. There's a little art community in Arizona she's been talking about more and more."
"What's stopping you?" I asked, as I tried not to sound too eager.
"Hell of a mortgage on a policeman's pension,"
the stoic man snorted. "I kind of wanted to talk to you about that," I replied as I sipped my beer. "What would you say if I offered to buy your place? I'd cut you more than a fair deal."
"Son," Jack said with a sly grin, "I thought you'd never ask."